New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is called vindictive and a master of the dark political arts. He's also described as a skilled negotiator and charming in the back rooms of politics. In writing a new biography, American Governor Chris Christie's Bridge to Redemption, New Jersey Public Radio's Matt Katz found that Christie's political style is full of contradictions.
In 1994, 31-year-old Christie sat in his living room to film his first ever campaign ad. His son, Andrew, sat on his wife's lap, sipping a bottle.
Hi, my name is Chris Christie. I got into this race for Morris County Freeholder for the promise of a better future for my family and yours.
The music and imagery are nice, but the message is anything but. Christie says the incumbents he's running against in the Morris County Freeholder election are fumbling and bumbling.
And now they're being investigated by the Morris County prosecutor.
Actually, they weren't. Christie's campaign was based on ethics reform, but in the process, he was committing an ethical blunder himself. He ended up getting sued for defamation. Christie's political style is full of contradictions. To begin with, he made his career as an ethical crusader. As U.S. Attorney for New Jersey, he fought political corruption. When he arrested the executive of Essex County, James Charfinger, he gave the politician some attention-grabbing treatment.
I've just spent about 6.5 hours in handcuffs and about 2.5 hours in leg irons.
But Christie's own career was ultimately marked by a series of humiliating alleged scandals, notably Bridgegate, in the last week of his first term.
I come out here to this office where I've been many times before, and I come out here today to apologize to the people of New Jersey. I apologize to the people of Fort Lee, and I apologize to the members of the state legislature. I am embarrassed and humiliated by the conduct of some of the people on my team.
This was a rare moment of contrition. More often, Christie drew headlines from making a whole lot of noise from the bully pulpit.
And let me tell you something. After you graduate from law school, you conduct yourself like that in the courtroom, your rear end's going to get thrown in jail, idiot.
What's less known about Christie is behind the scenes, he sometimes opts for the hug instead of the shiv. Even among Democrats.
The Chris Christie that you see banging on the podium in a press conference is not the Chris Christie you necessarily see at the negotiation table. I think that's important. That's what good leadership is.
Bill Caruso, a former top staffer for the Assembly Democrats, called Christie the dad in the room.
The private persona of Chris Christie that I was able to see was a negotiator, somebody that was willing to give and take. A lot more take than give, that was his style, but he would have a negotiation.
Christie's wooing of the opposing party took many forms. He'd call Democrats on their birthdays and invite them to dinner and Giants games, even people he didn't like, because that was how he needed to get stuff done.
You know, the president of the Senate and I are very good friends. We're real political adversaries, but we're good friends. You know, the phone rings at 10:45 at night or 11 o'clock at night, and I see it's him. I'm like, it's not going to be good news. He's not calling to say, hey, I just wanted to tell you what a great day I had and how much you made me happy, you know? And the phone rings at 11 o'clock, it's going to be like, there's a problem. I answer the phone.
More curious was his relationship with leaders of the Democratic machines in New Jersey. As U.S. attorney, Christie had investigated the unelected Democratic bosses who run the state. But once he became governor, Christie cozied up with George Norcross, the most powerful boss of them all. They attended Eagles and Phillies games in Norcross's luxury boxes. In 2014, Norcross praised Christie for crossing partisan lines to improve his native city of Camden.
In my lifetime, there has never been a governor of either party who has worked harder and more diligently to help South Jersey, the city of Camden, and many of the things that we're so proud of in this region.
Thanks to Norcross, Christie won scores of policy victories because Democrats under the South Jersey boss's thumb supported the governor's proposals in the legislature. Norcross got Christie to sign a law to open a special public school with Norcross's name on it in Camden. The men had other arrangements, sources say, that never before have been reported, like the so-called 195 deal over Christie's re-election in 2013. The governor wouldn't campaign for a Republican candidate south of Route 195, which bisects the state near Trenton. In exchange, Norcross Democrats declined to do much campaigning for Christie's Democratic opponent, Barbara Buono.
The Democratic political bosses, some elected and some not, made a deal with this governor, despite him representing everything they're supposed to be against.
Both sides deny a deal, But Norcross-aligned Democrats, most notably Senate President Steve Sweeney, did mutually fawning public events right up to Election Day.
It is in stark contrast to what we're seeing right now in the nation's capital, where not only won't people work together, they won't even talk to each other. And, you know, that doesn't happen here.
But while Christie was wooing some Democrats, he was punishing others.
The first word I would not think of is congenial.
Democratic State Senator Ray Lesniak has been in the New Jersey legislature since 1978. An avowed critic of Christie's, next year Lesniak is expected to make a run for governor himself.
Although he's very charming in person when he's talking to you, in terms of how he deals with you, he's quite Machiavellian.
When a state senator held up one of Christie's appointments, three of the senator's friends and relatives were fired from state government in a single day. One of Christie's top advisors, Bill Palatucci, confirmed that Christie was trying to send a message. Any public doubt that Christie used political retribution was erased 8 weeks after his reelection.
We begin with some breaking news about GW Bridgegate.
She wrote time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee.
No. It's as specific and direct as that? Time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee?
That's correct. And a minute later, the response from Wildstein was, got it.
WNYC's Brian Lehrer was surprised, but Democrats in the State House had no trouble believing Christie's aides had exacted revenge on a mayor who wouldn't endorse him. As for Republicans, Christie threatened to take his, quote, whipping hand out on legislators who defied him. One lawmaker told me he remembered being taken aside by a Christie aide to change his vote on an amendment that wasn't even going to pass. On this score, there are no contradictions. Christie has held a tight grip on his Republican Party and would never even allow a whiff of defection. For WNYC, I'm Matt Katz.
You can read an excerpt from Matt's book, American Governor, on WNYC.org, and Matt will be appearing at Words Bookstore in Maplewood, New Jersey, on January 28th.